Our reading for Monday, June 15th, begins in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. As I mentioned, 2 Thessalonians is a pretty quick book. These chapters are short, so we're already over halfway through getting through the book. So let's just make a few comments from chapter 2. When we looked at chapter 1, we saw the evidence of the righteous judgment that he spoke of in verse 5. That in verse 6, God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. In verse 7, grant relief to those who are afflicted. And that when Jesus comes, he will inflict vengeance upon those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. And so he was telling them to understand that, first, Jesus hasn't come yet, and second, any persecution that they were enduring would be rectified, or that justice would come on that last day. So then chapter 2, apparently there has been a false idea that's going around. Sometimes people attribute it to a misunderstanding of Paul's first letter, but I think that the way that he wrote this indicates that there are others that are trying to stir up some problems or teach a false doctrine. But verse 1, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him. So referencing the first letter and what he told them about what was going to happen on that day, that those who were asleep would be raised and that those who were alive would be caught up in the air to meet Jesus. That's what he's referring to. But he says in verse 2, don't be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit, a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us. So in other words, there's somebody else involved in this that is promoting this false doctrine. Paul is saying, it doesn't matter whether you think that it came from a spirit or somebody claims it came from a spirit. It doesn't matter whether somebody comes and tells you in person through some spoken word. And it doesn't matter if somebody tries to impersonate Paul or another apostle. He says, I don't want you to be shaken in mind or alarmed by these things. Verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way. Don't allow these things to pull you away. Know the truth and follow the truth. You cannot fight false doctrine if you don't know the truth. Your own ignorance is what will cause you to fall prey to the false teachings of one who would have you follow them. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, the man of lawlessness, or you might have a version that says son of perdition, and then he adds to that the son of destruction. So when we're talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's always that question of, okay, who is the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction? And they want to point to a person. Sometimes they want to point to a succession of persons. Sometimes it's political in nature. Sometimes it's religious in nature. Any answer I would give you on that would be my best guess. And quite honestly, this format is not the proper format for us to try to get down to explaining that. I don't want to get bogged down with our daily readings. So I'm not going to try to answer that for you. If that's something that really bothers you, then let me know. We'll sit down and talk about it. But understand that they may have understood exactly what Paul was talking about in the first century when he wrote this, but we don't really. But that's not really the point. I don't think Paul's point was to say, I'm giving you signposts along the way. I think his whole point was, look, this hadn't happened yet. Jesus has not come yet. That's the false teaching that was going out to them. So that's what his real point is, that all of these things had to happen. And finally, this evil one would be destroyed on the last day. And we know that to be Satan. Jesus will overcome him. And he will overcome him by truth and by the power of God the Father. That's exactly what he's describing. He says, verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So apparently he's reiterating something that he taught to them in person. Verse 6, you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. Verse 7, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. Verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. So I think he's using some apocalyptic language here, much the same as is used in the book of Revelation. This imagery that is used to describe this final battle, if you will, between good and evil, between God and Satan, and Jesus is going to be victorious. The Lamb of God will be victorious, and those who are part of the Lamb of God, part of his body, will be victorious as well. Jesus is victorious over sin and death. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power, false signs, wonders, wicked deception for those who are perishing. Then he goes on, verse 11, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. Understand that he's not saying that God causes people to believe something that is false. What he's saying is, if that's what they want to believe, God will allow it to happen. He'll allow them to be deceived, but it's still by their own choice. Sometimes this throws people off a little bit too and causes some distress when he's talking about all power and false signs and wonders. And I'm not sure that any of the English versions do a wonderful job of translating this. Depending on who you look at as far as scholars and what they say, they want to try to say that the false part of this or the lying part of this belongs to one section of this three parts of power, signs, and wonders. But I've looked at it, and I think that it's more along the lines of all of it is false. False power, false signs, false wonders. And that goes in with verse 10, with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. So I think what he's describing is that someone's going to come along, or maybe even a group of someone's or a line of someone's, however way you want to look at this. But the fact is that the activity of Satan is going to be presented as being signs and wonders and power, but it's not going to be real. It's going to be deception. And we see that all the time, especially today with our current media and YouTube and everything else. You can see these videos of charlatans that claim to be able to heal people and do all these different things, but it's not real. It's all fake. It's getting people to fall into that delusion. So, therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. That's what he's getting down to, is that all of this is false, and there are those that simply don't want to believe the truth. They want to be taken up in these things. They want to believe in them. And understand that when we want to believe in something, we find some rational way of making it happen. You know, our intellect might say in the beginning, this doesn't make sense, but when you truly want to believe it, you will find some rational way of combining the intellect and the desire so that you fall under this delusion. Verse 12, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's what it comes down to as well, is that they take pleasure in this false idea and being taken up with these false presentations. Verse 13, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved. So understand, he went from don't be deceived, don't fall prey to all this stuff, and then verse 13, God has chosen you as first fruits to be saved. So don't fall prey to this. Realize what you have in Christ and don't give that up. And this is through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Don't fall prey to the false beliefs. Know what your true belief is. To this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm, verse 15, and hold to the traditions, or teachings is what really should be there, that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Don't be swayed. Follow what we've sent to you, for you already know that that is the truth. And then verse 16 and 17, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Find comfort in this truth. Find comfort in the things that he is telling them. And don't be swayed. And that's a message for us too. Don't be swayed by false doctrine. Don't be swayed by false signs, wonders, all these different things that we see today. It's amazing what the human race does as far as belief. Whether we're talking about a charlatan that says that they have some special power from God, which is not true, that they're able to do some signs or wonders, healings, etc. Or whether we're talking about, you know, somebody that gets on TV and says, hey, our civilization was actually started by a bunch of ancient aliens, and we've seen this and this and this and this and this, and if you connect the dots, that's what it points to. You know, it if mankind wants to believe in something, he makes it happen. Know the truth. Jesus said that the truth would set us free. He's not talking about a state of mind. He's talking about set free from sin. There's only one truth that can set you free from sin. That is the truth that comes through Jesus Christ and his gospel. And that is the truth that will win out on the last day and Satan will be destroyed. So certainly we should take comfort from these things. We should be established in our hearts with true belief, complete conviction that we might do the good works that God has assigned to us, being found faithful on that last day, that we might be either raised or joined together with Jesus in the air, as he wrote in the first letter. Thank you for listening today. Please come back tomorrow. We'll look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.